Good to be back with you today. We will be once again studying from Romans chapter 12, and it's just a beautiful Sunday. We've met so many people, it seems like today, that have been gone for a while. And it's just wonderful having so many people back that I don't consider visitors, that are just good friends. And it's good to see it, so many of you back today. As I said, we'll be once again studying from Romans chapter 12, if you want to turn over there to in your Bibles. Last week, we looked at Romans 12, beginning in verse 1 and 2, and I want to go back and just quickly go over verses 1 and 2 because it flows into the rest of the chapter as we go through Romans 12. Look at what Paul starts, this one of the great chapters, I believe, of his writings. It says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is good and perfect and acceptable will of God is." If you look at these verses, actually, if we could incorporate verses 1 and 2 into our lives, the rest of the chapter really just falls out. Because what Paul starts his chapter with is our relationship to God. If we can learn that we're to offer ourselves to God according to God's mercies, according to all that God has done for us, we can show our gratitude back to Him and live for Him. Then all the rest of chapter 12 really comes into play very easily. Because the rest of the chapter is going to be how we play into each other. But if our relationship to God starts off on the right foot, the way it should, if we're right with God, if we're discerning His will for our lives, then we're going to treat each other the way that we should treat each other. And I think you'll see that as we go through the next couple of verses. Look at the next verse, verse 3. "For by the grace given me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober or somber judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned or given to us." How do we think of ourselves? He starts off with, how do we think, how do we view ourselves? Do we view ourselves higher than we should? One of the things that is one of the terrible things that you read around today is this thing of road rage. And it seems like you pick up the paper, you find somebody cut them off in traffic, and they pull out a gun and shoot them. And somebody's dead, and somebody's going to prison for life. For what? Because they cut them off in traffic? They pulled in front of me and cut me off. What really happened was that they changed lanes, and they probably didn't look. They didn't cut you off. They weren't even aware that you were there. But so often we take everything that somebody does to us very personal. And so we need to look at ourselves. Do we take everything so personal and not think of ourselves with the kind of sound or true judgment that we need to? One of the things that had been in the paper recently, the basketball now starting again. A few years back, most of you have heard of LeBron James. He's always in the press. He's one of probably the best basketball player playing right now. A couple years ago, LeBron James had an idea that he could go down to a team and talk a couple other All-Stars into coming with them, and then make a super team, and they'd win a championship. And that's what he did. He went down to Miami, and they already had Dwayne Wade, who was an All-Star. And they talked Chris Bosh into coming down from Toronto and joining them. And they formed this team down in Miami, and they won a championship. But they interviewed Chris Bosh this week because this, if you know, LeBron James has gone back up to Cleveland because the team sort of fell apart during the playoffs this year. And they interviewed Chris Bosh a week or so ago about, you know, everything that had gone on. And he said, "Well, if you look at what happened, when I came down from Toronto, I was an All-Star. If you look at Chris Bosh's numbers when he left Toronto, the individual statistics, how many points per game, how many rebounds he got, those kind of things, Chris Bosh was one of the best players in the league. He was what they call the number one option in Toronto. And that simply means when they brought the ball down, since he was the best player, the ball always went through him. He got to touch the ball. He didn't always take the first shot, but the first shot was always sort of his to take or not. He was the first option. Chris Bosh goes down to Miami, and you got LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, and now he's the third option. So the ball doesn't always go through him. In fact, a lot of times the ball gets down there and it gets to LeBron James or Dwayne Wade, and Bosh never even touches it. So he went from being the first option to being the third option. And so he said, you know, I gave myself up to the team, and the team did well, and we won a championship. But he said, this last year, they started writing things about me in the paper about how my numbers were down and how I should be doing this or doing that. He says, it's real easy to sort of say you're going to give yourself up for the team. But when it comes right down to it, he says, it's not always so easy, because we do want things for ourselves. And he says, this team concept is sometimes very hard. And I think sometimes it's very hard for us too. It was very hard for the disciples of Jesus. There's a story told on the disciples when they were going on the road. They were arguing. And Jesus turns to them and says, what are you arguing about? And also at the Last Supper, they were sitting there arguing. At the Last Supper with Jesus, they were arguing. And Jesus, what are you arguing about? And it seemed like it happens a number of times. One time they walked down the road, Peter, James, and John come to Jesus and say, Jesus, we want, when you come in your glory, we want to be on your right hand, your left hand. We want to be your number one and number two guys. And when they were on the road and at the Last Supper, they argued about this. Who was going to be number one? Who was the most important disciple? Who was going to be Jesus' first option, so to speak? And Jesus turns to him and he says, anyone who wants to be first must learn to be last and servant to all. That's not always an easy thing for us to learn. But that was what Jesus brought to his own disciples. But if you think about it, I mean, we see this in the Gospels. If the disciples of Jesus could argue about these kind of things, and it was on their minds, these were men that lived with Jesus. They traveled with him. I mean, have you ever thought about living with Jesus? I mean, we think about reading his word, but can you imagine at the end of the day sitting there and could ask Jesus anything you wanted to ask him? And just talk to him day in, day out, that he was there with you and he was teaching you along? That was what the disciples were. They were his friends. They were with him all the time. And yet they argued about who was going to be first in the kingdom. Who was number one? The same kind of things that we do today. I'd like to show you a few verses. I kind of call these the one another verses. And I went through, there's probably a lot more that I left out. But just look at a few of these as we go through. How do we think about each other? And the first one is, and you see this throughout the scriptures, love one another. That occurs many, many times in the New Testament. But have you ever thought what that means? To love one another. We sang a song even, to love one another. God showed us His love by giving us His Son. Love means that you're willing to sacrifice for someone. That's what love is. Welcome one another. When we see somebody, do we welcome them into our midst? Bear with one another. That gets a little harder. Because we do things that we don't always like. People do things that, you know, that's not the way I think it should be done. Do we bear with one another, willing to overlook the fact that maybe everything we say to somebody is not perfect? Accept one another as the Lord accepted us. There's a lot of these. If we look on down, honor one another. We're talking about more of that in Romans chapter 12. Serve one another. That becomes a little harder, doesn't it? We truly serve. Submit to one another. That's maybe the hardest one of all. Because all of us want to have power and control. If you look at most of the arguments, it's all about control. But submit means that we give up control, that we're willing to submit to one another. Forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Do we have grievances? Are we willing to forgive those? Encourage one another. We'll talk a little more about that as we go through moments, sir. Spur one another on to good works. Do not slander one another. Live in harmony with one another. These are some I found. There's probably more. You go through the New Testament, that idea of one another just keeps coming up. How do we treat one another? And as we go through Romans chapter 12, he's going to talk about how do we treat one another? How do we really feel towards one another? Are we willing to give ourselves to one another? It's not always as easy as we sometimes think. And that when I went through and listened to what Chris Bosch had to say, I realized it's not always easy to give ourselves up for one another. But that's what we're called to do in the body of Christ. Look with me at the next verse in chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, "For as one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." See, there's another one another that Paul brings in there. We're all part of the same body. We talk about the body of Christ, but that's us. And that's what Romans chapter 12 brings down, that the body of Christ is each one of us. We make that up. So even though we may give ourselves up by being the member of Christ, can you think of anything more important than actually being part of Jesus Himself? And that's what he says, and being parts of the body, we are part of Jesus. In Ephesians, Paul goes through a number of verses. Let me just read a few of those about the body of Christ. He says, "For as he gave to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the ministry." And we're going to have another list very similar to that in Romans that we just read. "For the building up of the body of Christ." Why did he give us these abilities? Not for our individual self, but to build up the body of Christ. "We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is in itself equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow and it builds itself up in love." Now most of us know our own human body. To work, every part of our body's got to be working like it should. And when it does work like it should, we feel better. Well, the body of Christ, the church, is the same way. When every part is doing its what we need to be doing, helping one another, filling the functions that God has given us one another, then the whole body grows and does the things that God wants us to do. But we do it together. Being part of the Lord's body, we do it together. Notice in Ephesians 5, Paul brings out a few verses that may not have been quite the way that you always think of them. Look at what he says. He says, "Even as Christ is head of the church, His body, and He Himself is its Savior." Notice He's Savior of the church. Not necessarily, He doesn't bring out the idea. We always say, well, Christ died for me. This passage, Christ died for the church. For all of us together as we make up that body. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her," that is the church, "having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that He might present the church to Himself as splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy, without blemish." The whole church together is what Christ gave Himself for on that cross. We always like to say individually, but Paul brings out the idea of us together. The church is not just something we go to on Sunday morning and sing a few songs and then we go home. We are the very body of Christ. And when we fulfill our roles in that body, then we start being the kind of church that Christ died for. He didn't die for just a group of people to come together on Sunday morning and then leave and go off and do whatever they wanted to do. Look at the last couple of verses as we look at chapter 12. "Having different gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in teaching, and the one who exhorts in exhortation, and the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who acts of mercy with cheerfulness." In other words, whatever ability we have, we're to use them for each other, not for ourselves. That's the same thing he says in Ephesians. That we're to be together. There's nothing more important if you think about it. We think about giving ourselves up for the church or giving ourselves up for one another when we submit to one another. But there's nothing that makes you more important than being part of Jesus himself. And that's what Paul tries to get across here in Romans 12, that when you're a member of the church, you're a member of Jesus. You're a part of Jesus himself. And is there anything in all the world that should make us feel better than that? To think about that we're part of Christ himself and that we're part of each other in being part of Christ. In Jim McGuigan's book on Romans, he ends this section with a little story of a girl that goes to Beethoven's house. Now, most of us have heard of Beethoven. He wrote some of the great symphonies that we still hear occasionally. And he wrote a lot of piano pieces, and piano sonatas. And this little girl was taking a tour of Beethoven's house. And the tour director took her to different rooms. They came to one room, and there was his desk. He said, "Now, this is the very desk that Beethoven wrote some of his great symphonies on. And here's the pen that he used." And they actually had the pen there and some of the other artifacts that Beethoven had used. And they got to the last room, and there was a great big piano there. He said, "Now this is the piano that Beethoven used the last years of his life." And everybody was just sort of standing around in awe of this piano. And this one little girl jumps up, and she starts playing the piano. And she plays one of Beethoven's sonatas. And she plays it, you know, pretty well. And when she finishes, she looks around, and everybody's just sort of looking at her. They didn't know quite what to say. And she said, "Well, doesn't everyone, when they come here, want to play this piano?" And the tour director said, "Well, not everyone. We had one man come through. He was one of the great concert pianists of their day, sort of the LeBron James of piano players. And he came through, and he saw the piano, and we said, 'Don't you want to sit down and play one of Beethoven's sonatas?' And he looked at the piano and he says, 'No, that's Beethoven's piano. I'm not really worthy to sit down at that piano.'" How do we view ourselves? The point that Paul tries to get us through in Romans chapter 12 at the beginning is not to think more highly of ourselves than we should. And so many of our problems that we have is because we puff ourselves up. We think more of ourselves than we should. And the idea in the church is that we're all part of Christ. We all have a part. He died for all of us. He died for the church. He didn't just die for you as an individual. He died for all of us. And we're all together. And we're all the same in Christ. Paul brings that out. He says, "It's not rich or poor, Greek or Jew. There's no distinction. We're all together in Christ." And when we start realizing that and knowing that all the abilities that God has given each one of us is to be used for each other. We're not all called to be teachers. We're not all called to be preachers. Or we're not all called to be song leaders. But they're all things that all of us can do. And we use the abilities God has given to us in His kingdom. And when we start doing that, then His kingdom works just like a human body works. And it functions the way that God intended it to, the way that Christ intended it to when He died on the cross for His church. This morning, think about yourself. As he starts this whole section, he says, think about how do you view yourself? Think about yourself and think about yourself from the Lord. This whole section of Romans brings that out to me that we need to think about our relationship to God. And when we have the right relationship to God, we can start having that right relationship with one another. And go through and look at all the one another passages in the Bible. And think about how are we living together in the body of Christ. This morning, if you've never become part of the body of Christ, you can be baptized into Christ. You're baptized into His death, and you baptize into a new walk with Him. If you started that walk, but you haven't been, you really haven't been walking with your Lord, why not come to Him this morning? If you need to come in any way, won't you come together and stand and sing?